Welcome to the Crispin Commentary Daily Mortgage News Podcast. I'm your host, Robbie Crispin. Topics on today's episode include debt load of higher rates, my interview with Stabby's Shane Hartzler on the biggest challenges facing servicers today and the biggest benefits from leveraging technology, and a look at central bank decisions from around the globe. Thanks to today's podcast sponsor, Stabby. Stabby's loss mitigation solution offers a top-tier experience for homeowners and servicers, streamlining processes into a secure, customer-centric platform. It ensures transparency and real-time access to data, documents, and eligibility decisions for all stakeholders. Stabby's system ensures compliance, expedites decision-making, and provides servicers with flexibility to adapt to evolving business conditions. This enhances pull-through rates and enables better management of variable costs, ultimately optimizing the loss mitigation process. As conjecture swirls about the economic impact of the collapse of the bridge in Baltimore, did you ever notice that when you put the two words, the and IRS, together, it spells theirs? Taxes are something we all deal with, and one of the major discussion topics at mortgage conferences is the monthly burden on homeowners. Taxes and insurance are two pieces of the cost pie. Another is the debt load of higher rates. What do Maryland, Nevada, Hawaii, Texas, Arizona, California, Massachusetts, New York, Maine, and Alaska have in common? They've seen the largest increase in mortgage debt. There are some creative possibilities, however, and today's Mortgages with Millennials show at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, delves into alternative paths to achieving homeownership. Focusing on the concept of co-buying, with two of the top experts in co-buying, Jonathan Lawless, head of homeownership for Built Rewards, and Niles Lichtenstein, CEO of Nessmit. Housing and jobs drive the U.S. economy, and yesterday brought the release of the new home sales report, which missed estimates to dip 0.3% month over month to a 662,000 unit base during February. On a year-over-year basis, new home sales were up 5.9%. Affordability is still a major constraint on homebuyer activity, and the slight increase in financing costs in January was enough to discourage transactions. The median selling price decreased for the sixth consecutive month, which is a welcome development for potential buyers. We have more house price data from Case-Shiller and FHFA later today. For today's interview, I wanted to welcome to the show Stabby's Shane Hartzler to talk about the biggest challenges facing servicers today and the biggest benefits from leveraging technology. He's the Chief Strategy Officer at Stabby with over 20 years of experience in the mortgage industry.
Servicing is always important, but especially so recently, as it seems like those with servicing books versus those without, it's really determined who's been able to maintain profitability throughout the down part of this market cycle. So I want to talk servicers and servicing with you today. Let's start by me asking you, what are the biggest challenges facing servicers today?
Yeah, so I will say I think servicers face a lot of business challenges similar, again, to many other businesses, many other industries, right? So you need to think about, cybersecurity, protecting customer data. I think, how do you provide a positive consumer experience? How do you manage costs? I mean, you mentioned, sort of some of those pressures, those types of things. I think also, how do we continue to sort of deal with a remote or a hybrid workforce, right? Like all of those are certainly ongoing sort of business challenges that servicers are having to deal with. I think what's unique to mortgage servicing, particularly I think for the last 15 years ago since the crisis is, there are a lot of regulatory and consumer, protection pressures that are placed on servicers as well, right? And what's interesting is that there continues to be sort of a lot of that regulatory change and pressure that keeps happening. And so servicers are constantly sort of having to adapt or rethink sort of how they're doing things based on some of those different pressures. So, first I think, coming out of COVID, right? And again, this is something that a lot of businesses had to do, but again, on a servicing side, right, there was a lot of uncertainty regarding sort of the forbearances. What do we do with the foreclosure referrals? How do we make sure that we're, sort of staying in compliance, staying in guidance there? So there was a lot of pressure there. I think, you know, servicers are finally now starting to work their way through that. But then we're also in sort of this higher interest rate environment, right? So it changes also sort of how you can help homeowners who might be struggling with the mortgage payments, right? And so if you look at those challenges and think about sort of the context of that and think about sort of the changes that we've seen in the last couple of months, the changes that we're expecting to see, right? So, you know, FHA just announced their partial claim payment program, right? So, you know, that's focused on affordability, but, you know, servicers are going to have to think like, how are we going to track those payments? That's a separate sort of payment that, you know, that you're going to need to do. How do I think about that? How does it change maybe some of my existing business processes, right? Like, what do I need to change in order to accommodate, you know, some of those programs? And then, you know, we also know that, you know, a lot of the agencies are going to be making announcements here in the next 3 to 6 months. Again, like, how do you manage post, you know, the post-COVID workflows? How do we think about forbearances, right? So like, there's this constant sort of change. And I think that's what's really different from how things are, and also what sort of is unique for mortgage servicing relative to some of the other industries.
Well, part of rethinking things for these companies is considering what technology they would like to use or leverage or even, you know, acquire and train their staff on. And so I want to ask you about technology in the servicing space and your thoughts on the application of it and any differences from what's been done on the origination side, because at least from my perspective on the origination side, there's all these options out there and companies want to use them, but sometimes it's like drinking from a fire hose in terms of what's going to play well with my existing tech stack. How am I going to train my people? How am I going to get them to use it? There's a myriad of challenges that people need to consider or companies need to consider when adopting technology. What are your thoughts about?
So you're absolutely right. So I'll start sort of focusing this on sort of loss mitigation and then sort of broaden out and talk about some of the larger context. I think, you know, I will say this. So I was at Fannie Mae when day one certainty was first introduced. And I mean, again, talking to your point about, you know, sort of having all of these different options and thinking about sort of what that would look like. But, you know, I remember having a conversation with one of the large servicers who I was working with at the time. And we were talking about, you know, what a game changer that could have been for us during the financial crisis on the loss mitigation on the servicing side, if we had had access to technology like day one certainty, right? Like, so, you know, if you think about how we were doing modifications then, right, we were basically re-underwriting the loan. So, you know, we were talking about like, how great would it have been if we could have, you know, looked at, gotten access and been able to look at the bank statements, right? So you can verify the employment, you can verify the hardship, you can see what that reduction of income, you know, might look like. And so we were always sort of having these conversations around, wouldn't it be great if we had access to some of these, you know, capabilities that are there on the origination side? Now, you know, I will say like loss mitigation, the way we're doing things now, it's much different from, you know, how we were doing things, you know, 10 years ago. It's a much more sort of streamlined process, right? We're focused less on underwriting. It's much more around sort of restarting payments. But technology still offers a lot of advantages for a servicer. But to your other point, I think it's also really important to recognize some of the differences between origination and servicing, right? So, you know, first, like consumer motivations are different, right? Like it is much harder on the servicing side, right, to make contact and interact with the homeowner, right? That has always been a difficult thing. That's becoming an even more difficult thing, right? So that's sort of the first thing. I think the other thing is, you know, with origination has always had sort of stakeholders and advocates who are helping the consumer, right? So if you think about, you know, you have the LO, you have the realtor. So like there are always sort of these options that are available, right? So like the LO can say, hey, if you want to submit, you know, if you want to use Plaid to submit all of your, you know, bank statements and do everything electronically, you can do that. But if you don't, like, you know, I still have a processor or I have ways that I can guide you through that, right? If I have questions, I can go to my realtor and I can ask my realtor about, you know, different things. And so there's all these sort of stakeholders and advocates. That's less so of anything on the servicing side, right? And so the relationships that you have and that you create with a lender, with an LO, much different than the relationships that you have, you know, with the servicer. And so I think, that's where, like, when I think about sort of technology and the application of technology and where you can sort of take advantage of those innovations, that's really where I think servicing can take all of these opportunities that are there in that, that origination is sort of creating and take and push those over there and really focus on sort of that user experience. Right. And so that's what we at Stabby, that's really something that we've been focused on, right? Is how do we help a servicer to leverage technology to offer user? And when I define user, I mean that both the homeowner as well as the servicing staff, right, to have the absolute best experience possible, right? So that could mean, you know, a mobile experience. That could mean, you know, sort of self-service, you know, being able to quickly get answers to questions, you know, quickly provide solutions when problems do arise, right? And so that's really what we're focused on is how do I think about the user experience? How do I think about applying some of those technologies, right? The last thing that I will say is, like, at the end of the day, like, from a strict sort of business process perspective, like, servicing and again, particularly like loss mitigation, like, has a lot of similarities to origination, right? And so I think it, you always have to sort of ask yourself, right, where are those similarities? Where are things that are being done elsewhere that I can take and I can apply that capability here, right? And so, again, we talked about some of the day one certainty, you know, pieces. We talked about sort of that user experience. I think people are looking at sort of how do I take advantage of AI, you know, in a smart way to be able to provide a more, you know, sort of customized experience to people. And so that's, that I think is really where you're going to see, you know, servicers thinking about that, thinking about how they can continue to create a better sort of user experience, leveraging that technology.
Well, let's take it one step further. Say companies do get their technology stack right and the user experience improves or things like that. What are the biggest benefits that servicers can actually realize from leveraging technology?
Yeah. So I think there's probably, and again, there's probably four or five benefits that I could say from the technology, you know, sort of, right. So the first is, or at least certainly should be, flexibility, right? Like, ideally, and again, you know, to your point about the tech stack, right? Like, ideally that tech stack is set up in such a way that it's configurable enough to allow you to adapt quickly as business conditions change, right? And so you want to make sure that, again, you have a technology partner, you have a technology stack and a platform that allows you to pivot to accommodate new business scenarios as they come up. So that's the first thing. You know, I talked about sort of the consumer experience. I think, you know, that's really important, but it's important just because you're offering alternatives to your consumer, right? Like, so you're allowing them to say, how do I want to interact with the servicer, right? How do I want to execute documents? How do I want to request assistance, right? Like, traditionally, we have followed sort of this one path. And I think the technology allows you to offer multiple paths to the homeowner. Third, I think it does allow you to better manage your variable costs, right? And it goes back to what I was saying about flexibility. So, you know, servicing has traditionally sort of managed the ebbs and flows of the business by scaling up or scaling down with people. And I think what technology allows you to do is more easily adapt without needing to just sort of add, you know, more people to the problem or take people away, right? So it allows you to better manage some of those variable costs that are unique to servicing. Fourth, I think it does give you greater transparency and visibility, right? So you can, you know, I talked about at the start, right? Like, this is a highly sort of regulated, a lot of different entities who are, you know, sort of looking at what you're doing, how you're treating your homeowner, et cetera, right? And so it allows you to sort of demonstrate some of that compliance in a much different way than you used to. But even more important, and again, I know I keep talking about this, but going back to the customer experience, right, it allows you to provide a greater understanding of the process, right? Where are you in the process? What are the next steps, right? And that's true, again, servicing staff and consumers, both of them have some of those capabilities. And then finally, it does allow you to speed things up, right? So you can get faster resolution, you can get earlier intervention, right? So, like, all of those things allow you to do what you were doing, but to do it in a much more efficient and faster way.
What are the best practices for ways to get started?
I think first and foremost, make sure you understand sort of what it is that you're solving for, right? So it's important to understand like why you're implementing the technology, right? You know, we talked about some of those benefits above, but you know, how you implement the technology, right? Like what you're going to start with is going to differ depending on what you're trying to do. So that's the first thing, is make sure you understand what you're solving for. The second thing, and this seems obvious, but I see, you know, sort of lot of failed sort of technology implementations because they don't do that. And then is this, take it in small chunks, right? It can seem overwhelming if you think about trying to change everything all at once. So don't change everything all at once. But we also used to even talk about like, you know, you don't need to implement it, you know, across the organization all at once, right? So start with a certain portfolio, start with, providing just, you know, sort of automating one piece of the process and building out from there, right? Like being able to sort of chunk things up and to understand sort of how each thing is going to lead to the next, I think is really, really important. Third, I think it's really important to understand sort of your business processes and your metrics, right? So being able to demonstrate the improvements that you're seeing, but also, you know, being able to know sort of how and where the technology is being applied and what are the things that we are expecting to see and what are the things that we're actually seeing. And then the last thing, and this kind of goes back to taking it in small chunks, is be willing as you work with, you know, your providers, as you work with the technology, to sort of take on a test and learn sort of approach, right? Like being able, you know, I think we've seen a lot of sort of the design thinking and sort of the agile thinking over the last, you know, 5 or 8 years across the board. But like thinking about that as it relates even in servicing, right? So like putting something into the market and then being able to sort of change and adapt based on sort of the response that you see. And again, having a tech stack and having some integrations that allow you the flexibility to be able to do that, right? So it's not sort of a one and done sort of a thing, but you have a technology partner, you have a technology platform that's able to sort of adapt with you and say, hey, this worked. Hey, that didn't work. Okay, let's do this and then move forward from there.
Very well put. Shane, I really appreciate all the insight you provided. I think this is some valuable stuff for my listeners. Hopefully I'll have you back on soon. So thank you very much, sir.
Okay.
The Bank of Japan last week scrapped the world's last negative interest rate, ordering its first increase since 2007. The move ends the most aggressive monetary stimulus program in modern history and signals confidence the country is leaving behind years of economic stagnation. Conversely, the Swiss National Bank unexpectedly cut its key interest rate by 25 basis points, the first such reduction for one of the world's 10 most traded currencies since the pandemic ended, moving months ahead of global peers as policymakers try to prevent gains in the franc. Colombia doubled the pace of interest rate cuts to revive the weak economy, while Norway signaled no such move was in the offing for at least another 6 months. Domestically, quantitative tightening, or QT, is an important complement of tighter monetary policy and is currently removing liquidity from the U.S. financial system to the tune of up to $95 billion a month. Officials are determined to stop it before it causes the kind of financial disruptions experienced before the last round ended some 5 years ago. According to some, such as PIMCO co-founder Bill Gross, there's too much supply in the treasury market. He's also warned that excessive exuberance is sweeping financial markets. Even though this final week of the first quarter is shortened from a trading perspective due to the Good Friday holiday, there's still a lot of important data. Another notable increase this week is personal income and outlays on Friday, which contains the PCE price index, the Fed's preferred measure of inflation. We'll have to wait until next week to see how the bond market reacts since Friday is a market holiday. After CPI and PPI ran hot in February, the PCE price index is widely expected to register a similar increase. Those previous data points were taken into account by the Federal Open Market Committee before holding the Fed funds rate steady last week. Chicago Fed President Goolsbee said yesterday that he anticipates 3 rate cuts this year, which many analysts as well as Fed funds futures markets believe will begin with a 25 basis point cut in June. Yes, traders are reloading wagers on imminent rate cuts that have burned them multiple times over the past year. The risk is central banks again fail to vindicate the bullishness given sticky inflation and robust job markets. For now, though, the Fed is signaling a willingness to lower rates to head off job cuts, even if it means somewhat higher inflation in the near term. Despite the miss on new home sales and soft demand at Treasury's $66 billion two-year note auction yesterday, there was still selling pressure on the day. Today's busy economic calendar is already underway with durable goods orders, up 1.4%, and excluding transportation, up 0.5%, as well as Philadelphia Fed non-manufacturing indices. Later today brings Redbook same-store sales for the week ending March 23rd, January house prices from Case-Shiller and FHFA, March consumer confidence, Richmond Fed manufacturing and services, Dallas Fed Texas services, and several Treasury auctions that will be headlined by $67 billion of five-year notes. We begin Tuesday with agency MBS prices roughly unchanged from Monday, and the 10-year yielding 4.24 after closing yesterday at 4.25%. The 2 years at 4.60%. Let's wrap up with a joke and some housekeeping. An elderly lady and her husband were pulled over by the cops for speeding. The officer said, "Ma'am, do you know why I pulled you over?" She turns to her husband and goes, "What did he say?" "He asked if you know why he pulled you over." "Oh, no." "Well, ma'am, you were going well over the speed limit." "What did he say?" "He says you were speeding like a bat out of hell." "Oh." "Ma'am, can I see your driver's license, please?" "What did he say?" "He wants to see your driver's license." "Oh." So she digs it out of her purse and hands it over. The officer, noticing her address, says, "You know, the nastiest old woman I'd ever met in my life was from that same town." "What did he say?" To which her husband replies, "He says he knows your mother." Thanks again to today's podcast sponsor, Stavi. Stavi offers a flexible and fully customizable loss mitigation solution. Servicers can easily adapt to regulatory updates and market conditions, providing a seamless, customer-centric digital experience. Stavi transforms a potentially stressful time for customers into a streamlined, secure process. If you have any questions about the podcast or sponsoring opportunities, send me an email at robbie@robchrisman.com. Visit robchrisman.com for more information on our industry partners, access to archived commentaries, and how to subscribe to the daily mortgage news and commentary. To listen to or download past episodes of this podcast, search Mortgage News on any platform you get your podcast from.